Part 3. Advanced strategies and sustainable growth. Diversifying revenue streams. Let's start with something that gives you freedom. Diversifying how you make money. This is where you step back from the insurance treadmill and ask, how else can I use my skills to earn a living? Because private practice doesn't have to mean 25 sessions a week, 50 weeks a year. You can do therapy, yes, but you can also consult, teach, write, build, and you don't need permission to start. So let's talk cash pay models first. These are clients who pay you directly, no insurance involved. The big shift here is mindset. You're not asking, will insurance cover this? You're saying, this is my rate, and here's what you'll get. Cash pay clients often value flexibility. They may want a particular kind of support, a specific modality, or just the privacy that comes from staying off insurance. And you can offer sliding scales strategically, not out of guilt, but with clarity around your break-even and boundaries. Then there's consulting. This could mean helping schools manage behavioral plans, training HR teams on psychological safety, or supporting medical clinics with mental health integration. You already have the skills. The key is packaging them. Can you offer a half-day workshop, a retainer agreement, a flat fee for a specific deliverable? The consulting world values psychological insight. It just uses a different language. Now, how about courses and content? This is where you take the work you do in session and translate it into structured formats, webinars, short video series, even downloadable workbooks. The goal isn't to become an influencer, it's to leverage your time. 1 hour spent designing a course might support dozens of clients you'll never meet. Plus, it's scalable income. You're not just trading hours for dollars anymore. And finally, group work. Groups can be clinical or psychoeducational. They're a way to serve more people at once, increase your hourly earnings, and offer support in a community-based format. Plus, many clients are looking for connection, and group work delivers that in a way individual therapy can't. Diversifying doesn't mean you abandon one-on-one therapy. It means you design your career to include multiple pathways, so that when reimbursement stalls, or burnout creeps in, or life changes, you're not stuck. You're ready. Contracting for leverage and exiting bad payers. Let's talk power. Specifically, how having more insurance contracts actually gives you more of it, and how to know when it's time to walk away. If you're only paneled with one or two insurers, they hold all the cards. They set the rates, and you feel stuck. But if you're in network with five or six, suddenly you've got options. You can compare rates. You can spot patterns. And most importantly, you're not dependent on any single payer. That's leverage. Think of each contract as a piece of your revenue puzzle. Some pay well, but are a nightmare administratively. Others are low maintenance, but underpay. When you have options, you can adjust that mix. You can negotiate with the worst payer by showing them your better contracts. You can say, I'd love to continue our relationship, but here's what I'm getting elsewhere. That's a very different tone from, I can't afford to lose this plan. Now, when should you actually exit a contract? It's not just about money. It's about the whole picture. Are claims getting denied? Is communication awful? Are the rates below your break-even, even after pushback? Have you tried negotiating and hit a wall? If yes, then it might be time, but don't ghost them. Exit strategically. Give proper notice. Inform your clients. Offer transition support or private pay options. Remember, your reputation matters more than your frustration. Exiting a payer can feel scary, but it's also a powerful reset. You're choosing not to compromise your sustainability. And in that choice, you reclaim control. Hybrid practice models and strategic mixing. So maybe you're not ready to go all in on cash pay, but you're tired of being fully dependent on insurance. The answer? A hybrid model. A hybrid practice mixes in-network services with cash pay work. It's like building a diversified portfolio. Some steady, some flexible. The trick is making it intentional. You don't want randomness. You want a structure. For example, you might keep 3 mornings a week for in-network clients and save afternoons for private pay clients or groups. Or you might reserve Mondays for evaluations and Thursdays for a supervision group you charge out of pocket. The next part is communication. When you shift clients from insurance to private pay or introduce that option, you need to be clear, confident, and grounded. Scripts help. You might say, as of next quarter, I'm limiting my in-network slots. I'd love to continue working together, and here's what that could look like. Or, This service isn't covered by insurance, but I offer it privately at this rate. Don't apologize for your value. Explain it. Clients respect transparency. And when they understand that your pricing supports your ability to stay in practice, many will stay. Hybrid models let you experiment. They let you scale without burning out. And they let you build towards sustainability, one decision at a time. Scheduling ongoing reviews and preparing the ground, 1,000 words. Rate negotiations shouldn't be a one-time thing. Just like clinical work, they need follow-up. That's where renegotiation cycles come in. Instead of waiting until you're frustrated or underwater, you set a schedule. Every 12 to 18 months, you review your contracts. You check reimbursement, denial rates, admin time, and compare them against your break-even and goals. It's routine, not reactive. This structure helps you catch problems early. Maybe one payer's rates haven't changed in 5 years. Maybe another has slowly started denying longer sessions. You don't need a crisis to act. You just need a calendar. And when you approach payers, you're not a stranger out of the blue. You're a long-standing provider initiating a review. Your tone is, "I value our partnership and would like to ensure that the arrangement remains equitable as the landscape shifts." You're not threatening. You're being proactive. You're helping them retain a solid provider. That's the mindset that gets results. Tracking profitability, KPIs, and financial tools. Data isn't just for the insurance companies. You need it too. Because if you don't know which services are profitable, which CPT codes are dragging you down, or which insurers are worth keeping, you're flying blind. Start by tracking revenue per CPT code. You might find that one insurer pays $85 for 90,834, and another pays $105. Or that testing brings in more money with fewer sessions. That's valuable insight. Then look at return on investment per plan. How much time do you spend chasing denials? How long do payments take to arrive? Add it up. That $100 session might be costing you 30 minutes of unpaid labor. Is it worth it? Now, bring in tools. Your EHR might have built-in reports, or use Google Sheets, QuickBooks, or a template in Excel. What matters is that you see your numbers clearly and regularly. KP is like denial rates, time to payment, revenue per hour worked. These tell the story of your practice. They show you where to grow, where to cut back, and where to renegotiate. Legal and ethical boundaries of negotiation. Let's end with a grounding conversation. The rules that shape what you can and can't do during negotiation. First, billing laws. You have to bill ethically. That means accurate CPT codes, no inflating time, and no balance billing if you're in network. These aren't just suggestions. They're legal obligations. Then there's antitrust law. You cannot collaborate with other psychologists to set rates or boycott insurers. Talking about your own experiences? That's fine. Coordinating fees? That's illegal. Also, know when to get legal help. If you're reviewing a weird clause in a contract, planning to form a provider collective, or responding to a payer audit, get an attorney. A one-hour consult can save you months of stress. Ethics also matter. Don't fudge your data. Don't let money dictate care. Don't throw clients under the bus when leaving a plan. Integrity will serve you better than any negotiation tactic ever will. Negotiation is advocacy, and when done within clear legal and ethical bounds, it's also leadership.